What I want to see tonight is, first of all, importance of patience when it comes serving God. Patience. You plant seed, you water seed, you wait, and you pray, and you look to God. Because it's up to God, then the rest of it is. You can only do so much, then God has to do rest. Now, that tough part. I mean, I like get out there and sow and seed. I like water seed. I like call people, visit people. I love go soul winning. I mean, it's not a job to me. I love doing it. I don't get paid when I at home going soul winning. I just go because I love it. I love people. I love tell people about Lord. Now, listen to me. A lot of people quit soul winning because they're not patient. I want you to know, my son Mark, boy, he called me this afternoon. He's excited. We had our all-time high this morning. Our church will be a year old tomorrow. We started a mission church 1 year ago. My oldest son is the pastor of the mission church, and we're out of Gospelite Baptist Hot Springs, Dr. Eric Capace. But they had 225 this morning and had a great day. Had a lady join. My Donna called me too. She talked me. And I called her. She's telling me, Noma joined this morning. 2-3 weeks ago, Mark had to be gone. And so I got out of an engagement. I had to be able to preach at the church there. I'm so scheduled. Some of my meetings 2005 now. And because I can't get many of them in 2004. But so I got out of this one and had the promising the moon to get to another time, and I there. So my Donna was gone. There's some ladies had asked her, Dr. Paul Chappell, out to college. They flew my Donna out there. I said, pretty soon you'll be the one traveling. I'll stay home. But speak to the ladies, 400 ladies out there. Amen. Well, so I said, Donna, she teach a ladies class, mostly older ladies, and my Donna just loves ladies, so she teach in that class. She said, John, would you take that class? They love you, and you know most of them. I said, sure, I'll take that. Now, I know that sounds dumb to some people. I said, sure, I'll take a ladies class. I'll have a good time in there. And I did. I went in there, and I talked a lesson on helping hurting ladies, and I dealt with a lady in the Bible. But anyhow, there was a lady there named Noma visiting. In the middle of the lesson, she just started bawling. Lady beside her put her arm around her, say, what's the matter? We just stopped class. So she began to share her burden, what she's been through. Boy, it's been tough. And she said, oh, what Brother John talking about right there. God sent me that just what I needed today. So we all stopped and held hands and we prayed around class. I thought that more important than me teaching right now. We just loved her. And then I went on, taught lessons. Then she came that morning. I preached. She came and ladies prayed around her and had a good time. Save lady. But just, I don't have time to tell you all the heartache, abuse, and everything she'd been through. Well, my Donna said she came back this morning to join church. And she told my son, said, I joined because your dad. Oh, Mark was laughing. I tell you something. God will use you to help others if you look for it. But you got to be patient. Folks, for 2 years when I couldn't walk, I was shut up mostly in a little house, in our house. To move from the couch to the chair was a labor. I crawled on hands and knees. But all that time, God doing something. And I just waiting and praying and looking Him. And slowly, gradually. And I just look hurting people all the time. And God just puts, I was in a plane the other day. I have all kind of things happen. I fly all the time now, so they put me first class. If they have an opening, I automatically get in it. I never pay for it, but they put me in there. I sat by Art Linkletter the other day. He saved, man, 92 years old, travel all over country. His daddy was a Baptist evangelist, circuit riding preacher. Old boy knows the Lord. He talking about Bible. Me and him was swapping stories, laughing. Everybody thought we was crazy on that plane. He should have heard us. I caught some little leg somewhere. I don't even try to remember things, but I caught a leg. And I handed one of my tracts back there to this lady over to the side. I said, "Here, would you read that?" So she started reading, crying. I said, "What matter?" "Oh," said "John, can I call you John?" "Yes, yes." She first of all asked me, "Am I supposed to call you Father?" I said, "No." "No, just John, be fine." And her second child was killed just a month ago. The first child was murdered. A person put a gun point blank up to her daughter's head and pulled the trigger. And 1 year later, almost to the day, her son, he's about 20 years old, gone hunting and put his hunting, took his gun and he just threw it in the back of the truck. And it discharged, shot him right through the heart and killed him. They were on a trip because doctor said, "You and your husband need to get away for a while." And God put him beside me. And we cried and prayed, and she prayed, and then she told the stewardess, said, "Oh, look here. This gentleman over here has this tract written about his life. You need one of these." So the stewardess said, "Okay." And she went back and read it. "Oh, that good." I started giving them out to everybody on the plane. Now, let me tell you something. God wants to use us. I don't care who we are. I don't care what you're going through. God wants to use you. But what you may be facing right now may not seem like I can. Just trust the Lord. And just keep serving and be patient. God will do something greater you ever thought. So he said, you've got to learn patience. And we, one reason he exhorts us to be patient is because the Lord coming. In verse 8, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." You know why we should be patient? Because the Lord coming any day. Amen. Hey, this could be the day. Amen. This could be it. We've got to learn patience. If we're ever going to accomplish anything, God, you've got to be patient. Stay at it. Listen, you had 113 this morning. Praise God. Now, keep digging, praying, working, looking at it. You'll hit that 150 one day. And if you just stay at it, you'll hit that 200 one day. Just stay at it, you'll keep going. Now your biggest hurdle will get 200. Once you get 200, I don't know what it is, I don't know why it is. Once you get 200, it just starts growing, it starts multiplying. You usually just add till you get 200. I've seen it over and over. Saw it in my own ministry, I've seen it in other churches. When you break that 200 mark, then it starts multiplying. You keep adding and praying and witnessing, going soul winning. Go with this preacher, keep going. If you used to go but you don't go now, get back in there and go again. Just get back in there and go again. And God will use it. It got to be patience in this matter. You know, my Donna, I love her death. I'd do anything for her. Bible says we're supposed to love our wife like Christ loved church and gave himself for it. So I read that one day and I think, okay, I'm supposed to love Donna like Jesus loved me. Boy, that a whole bunch. And he always doing something for me. Isn't God always doing something for you? So I always do something for her. When I travel somewhere, I always hunt and get her something. Oh, she liked John Deere things. She has one, our spare bedroom, John Deere everything. Everything I could find across country, John Deere's in that room. bedspread, pillows, clock, everything. She fed us on her, I bought her a table the other day, and she fed us on her John Deere plates and salt and pepper shakers and silverware. But I found neatest thing the other day, Brother Bishop. It's a, like a John Deere tractor, but it have a place for picture. And then right there where picture is, over top of that it says, my dear. And my favorite picture of her, because I don't remember us meeting or getting married, nothing. I believe we are married. I really do. I don't think I'm living in sin. I think we really are. But is a picture of her when we met in Bible college before got married. Oh, she's cutest, prettiest thing. And I put it in that little frame and where it says, my dear. And I gave it to her the other day. I love it. I love her. I remember I did this the other day. You know, some of you, I don't know if you all know or not, but because my eyes were distorted vision, when I would go to kiss her after I got sick, I'd miss her lips all the time. But I kiss till I find them is what I do. But I'm better aimed now, but sometimes I kiss on miss on purpose. I just like finding them. And but I found this scientific study. Now, this is real true. This scientific study they did on kissing. Since I liked that pretty good, I thought, I'm going to read this thing, you see. Bible reading a little later. Right now, I got to study this. And now, this is really true. I don't know how they do all these things, but they put probes and stuff. And here what found. When two people love each other, kiss, it elevates a chemical in their brain called dopamine. Now, that may not sound like an important chemical, but it's the feel-good chemical of your body, dopamine. It works with what they call serotonin. When a person is depressed, clinic depressed, I deal with them a lot, their level of serotonin, a clinic depressed person has got to a point where really they can't help themselves. You don't tell a person deeply depressed, snap out of it. That's the worst thing you can ever do. Don't ever do that. Because at a certain level, their brain chemical, they cannot snap out of it. So what they do is they give them medication that causes their body to produce that serotonin, works with dopamine, makes you feel better. You get it naturally when you kiss somebody you love. So I tell my Donna, I know the best medicine when I'm not feeling good. It's kissing, that's what it is. So now when I tell her, I say, I'm feeling a little depressed, Donna. I need medicine. Come here, let me kiss you. Teenagers do not need dopamine. All right? You've got enough dopamine. Just married people need dopamine, okay? But listen to me. Patience is so important in this matter of living for God and serving God. Not only patience, but forgiveness. Look in verse 9. He says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Forgiveness. Don't hold grudges. Don't do it. One of the main reasons, a little over a year ago, we had to start a mission church to place Triple S Christian Ranch under the authority of a New Testament local church, was because of one of the men in my former church holding a grudge. Now, he meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You know, in our mission church today, Mark had almost as many as the last Sunday I had when I resigned my church nearly 3 years ago. We're running near that. Well, this man held a grudge. Isn't it sad? We had Christian school. They can be a blessing and a cursing. I tell you, I don't know any other way to disciple young people today than either homeschool or Christian school. I don't know. It's hard to disciple kids in public school. I'm not saying it's wrong to go there. I'm just saying hard to disciple kids. We have kids from public school in our church, and I want to keep them coming. If we had a Christian school nearby, I'd send Luke, my last son, just graduated last night, and he started in our first year of our Christian school, went all the way through, graduated last night. I'm going to miss him. He plays piano, sings, works with our teenagers too, and he's going off Bible college. I cried all night last night. Well, this man had a child that was really a rebel. We had to deal very strongly with this child. You know, and some parents, if you ever deal with their kids, it's always your fault, never theirs. And that's sad. You'll ruin your kids when you take up their side against the preacher or against their teachers. When you defend the child. My son Mark told me one time, said, a situation developed in our Christian school, I don't even remember it, and he said something had come up. And he said, I whipped the fire out of him, found out later the teacher had been wrong. And he said, but you told me, well, it's good to get a whipping anyhow, just to let you know that I'm going to be behind authority, even if they're wrong. Well, this couple, soon as I resigned, the attack started on me and my family. Wrote some most vicious letters I've ever seen in my life. I never really realized. I guess I probably would have if I had memory of time past, but since the time my illness, I had more of a sheltered life. I never really knew what a grudge was until that happened. And I really found out what a grudge can do to somebody and what it can do to a church. I want to tell you something. I don't care what anybody has done to you. Don't hold a grudge. I don't care if it's in your family. You say, but you don't know what they've done. Don't hold a grudge. My mother died a little over a year ago. My brother, I have one older brother, one older sister, three of us going to pay for the funeral. Went down, signed up. The two of them, because of financial things so forth, couldn't pay their part. So my Donna and I having pay it all. I could get mad, bitter about it. But I decided, no. I told my Donna, I said, we'll just make their payment each month along with ours. We'll just trust the Lord to supply it. I got a call from my older brother about a month ago on telephone, just crying, weeping. God has used what I've done to touch his heart and bring him back to God. Now, I could have got all mad and said, you know just much you all is me and everything else. No, I just said, listen, I love you all. Do what you can. I'll just do what I can. But we'll do it this way. But God used it. Holding grudge, never going to help a thing. It was worth $2,000 to reach and help that brother. It was worth every dime of it. Now, folks, life too short to hold grudges. Don't do it. He said, listen to me. The one holding the grudge is the one going to be condemned. He said, grudge not one against another, brethren. The main warning, he said, is don't Christians grudge one another. If you do, the Lord is standing at the door. I could tell you this brother's situation that attacked me. A tragic thing happened in his own life, and even in his wife. But I want you to know this. Two things. When it happened, first of all, I never said to anybody. Matter of fact, I said to our church, because they knew of some of the things. He made it known. I said, don't say God is doing that. If it's God, God will show him. It's not up us to judge. Listen, folks. If somebody's going through a hard time, don't be like Job's friends. Don't sit back and say, oh, boy, God getting them now. No. It's up to God to do that. Amen. That's not our place. I prayed for him, wrote him a letter, love you. And I did love him, and I did pray, God, please be with him. Please help him. I can honestly tell you, tears came in my eyes. Please, God, if you would spare him. God did spare him. Even though this man said to somebody, first thing come my mind out of this was how I treated Brother John. But still, when I went to see him, he wanted to talk to me. He said, I want to be close. I want to be friends. He couldn't bring himself to say the words, I'm sorry. He couldn't bring himself to say the word, forgive me. Now, folk, let me tell you something. Don't be that way. You be the one quick to say, I'm sorry. You be the one quick to say, forgive me. Don't hold a grudge. James saying, here's something we need to realize. Now, you might say, John, I thought you were talking about Job. I am. And this is the context. I thank God, Job didn't hold a grudge against those friends. It was when Job prayed for his friends, God turned everything around. If anybody in the world, man, if you read just half what those friends said about Job, one of them even said, Job, you haven't even got all you deserve. Can you imagine that? 10 kids dying, your body, you've lost everything, you're hurting, you're sitting in an ash pile. You haven't even got what you deserve yet. If anybody in the world could have held a grudge, it'd been Job. But because he did it, God blessed him. Job was 10 years getting back double what he lost. You say, how do you know he's 10 years getting back double? Because he had 10 more children. Now, I doubt if Miss Job had them every 9 months. I probably think there's 2-3 months in between when they're ladies. My Donna said that's what she got for saying what she did to Job. Had 20 youngins. It probably took her about 10 years to have 10 more kids. You know what, my Donna? It's been 7 years since my illness. Brother Bishop said about, Lord, use me. I'm not going to say much, but let me just say this. I am bigger churches I've ever been in my life. I'm seeing more people saved. We're this summer at camp. I can't wait. Y'all get there. We built a new building. God bless him. We had over 2,500 last summer. We've already got 5 of 7 weeks packed out. The other two nearly full. May have to add another week. In 2005, it'll be 10 years. If we hit 3,000 in 2005, we will have doubled what it was, 1,500, the summer I got sick, the year I got sick in 95. My Donna said, John, I've been looking back, and nearly everything we can see, God has doubled for us in these nearly 10 years. Now, I don't know if we'll have 3,000 that year or not. I don't know. But wouldn't that be amazing? Amen. But look, 10 years. That's a pretty long time for Job, wasn't it? But listen, if you're going to be blessed of God, you can't hold a grudge. I don't care what anybody said about you. I don't care how they attacked your character, anything else. Don't hold a grudge. Forgiveness. And then endurance. I want you to notice that word in verse 11. When he says there, we count them happy which endure. Now you don't think of those two words going together, happiness and endurance, in the same sentence. Usually we think of people that endure is, boy, they're just holding on, fighting it out, and this is the way it's going to be. You know, I found a letter I wrote to a friend of mine. I keep copies of letters a lot of time, correspondence. And I typed a letter and I just kept some copies that I'd written preachers. And 2 years after I was sick, I wrote a letter and I started a letter this way, that preacher. 2 years ago, my nightmare began. If I'm writing a letter tonight, here's the way I'd start it. 7 years ago, my dream began. God makes a difference. God makes a difference. And He can your life too. Now, I told you, I'd tell you a truth tonight that has helped me tremendous. You remember when Job lost at the very beginning? When Job lost his children, lost all of his material possessions. Boom, boom, boom. One, another, another. Bowed his head and worshiped. And he said this, "The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, here's this truth. That car I drive out there, that 92 town car, was given to me. I had a little problems with it some few months ago, and we was having also problems with a van. Now, we're paying on a minivan. My Donna usually drive it. She doesn't like me to drive anything she has. She doesn't even like ride with me. I told her, I said, "God rides with me." She said, "'Cause He's not in the body anymore, that's why." Where's that woman's faith? I don't know. But now let me tell you, now get hold of this. This will help you, get hold of this. When my car that was a gift tore up didn't bother me a bit, because I knew the people gave it to me loved me. They didn't give it to me and say, "Hey, let's give him that car and he'll break down somewhere and he'll be ruined on the side of the road." No, they gave it to me because they loved me. They didn't know it was going to tear up. And it wasn't a major thing. $200-$300 wasn't major. It just messed up. But it didn't bother me then. But my van messed up. And I couldn't get him to fix it like I wanted. I told my Donna, I'd get him plumb aggravated, those people. Now, here's the difference. With that one, I felt I deserved it. I'm paying for it. I'm paying on this thing, and I ought to get it fixed when I want to get it fixed and how I want to get it fixed. I deserve it. The other, I didn't figure deserve anything. I tell you, if that car quits on the way home to Rosebud tonight and it blows up and I can get it off to the side of the road, I'll get somebody to carry me home, load up my stuff, and I'll praise God that gave it to me and I got that far with it. I'll just praise God. Because it's a gift. See, Job looked at everything in life as a gift. The Lord gave. So God can take it away if He wants to. His children, God gave. His material possession, God gave. Everything, it's a gift of God. If you look at life as a gift of God, it'll help you. We don't deserve a thing. Nothing. One time I had a man in my church going through some trials, and really he was trying to serve God, live for God. It wasn't like he just outliving sin, ripping up and everything. No, he's trying to live for God. Boy, I mean, his world fell apart and my heart broke for him. Wife just decided to leave him, take kids. Then lost his job, it downsized, and he would drive back and forth Little Rock. It's a good job, good paying job. Downsized, he lost it, wrecked his truck. I loaned him one of my pickups that I have, older pickup loan, just so he'd get back and forth for a few weeks until he could do something. I mean, my heart broke for him. I remember he say this, "I don't deserve this, I don't deserve." Well, just a few weeks before this happened to him, here's what had happened. I'm going to have to sit in this minute, if you don't mind my leg getting just a little wobbly. We'd had a Thanksgiving service. You know how we give testimonies Thanksgiving? That Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, I remember him getting up saying this, "If I got what I deserved tonight, I'd be in hell." So I minded him, not in a harsh way, not in a critical way. I said to him, "Brother, you know, a few weeks ago I heard you say if we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell." He gave a lesson to the disciples when he washed their feet and he got done washing them. And he said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." If you do what? Now what was this, Jesus? You know, I just got done washing your feet. Happy people wash people's feet. Something not registering here, Lord. What are we talking about? Here's what he's talking about. The happiest people you'll ever meet are those that are serving others and serving God. That's the happiest people you'll ever meet. That's what Jesus is saying. If you know these things, disciples, and you do what I'm doing, you're going to find the happiness God wants you to have. Happiness and endurance can go together. Just because you're having a tough time and it's rough, maybe on the job or in your family, your home, your health, finances being tough, oh, God bless you. But let me tell you something, that doesn't mean you can't be happy. Amen. James says you can put the two together. Happiness and endurance can live in the same house. I met a dear preacher a while back, bless his heart. He'd been through a tough time. He told me his church had been through 1.5 splits. I said, what's a half a split? He said, that's when only half of them left that should have. Well, I never heard that before. But I mean, he'd been through a tough time. Ministry is not easy. I guarantee you these missionaries hadn't had it easy. I guarantee you your pastor hadn't had it easy. Not only pastoring, he'd been in evangelism and being on the road. These are tough things. But he says, you know, we got some examples in the Word of God. He said, those prophets of old, use them for an example. And then he said, but especially use Job. Job kept believing God right on through. Now, I know Job said some terrible things. One time my son Mark came to me, and the person in our church was hurting, going through a tough time. But they made some statements, pretty bad statements. Mark said, I just don't believe they're saved, Dad. I don't believe they love God. I don't think they even know God. I just can't believe that. I said, well, Mark, I said, I read worse things than that. A man said that God called perfect. He said, who's that, Job? Do you know one time Job told God, he said, leave me alone. That's pretty tough, isn't it? God, leave me alone. Now, he was glad later on God didn't do it. But when you're hurting, sometimes you'll say things you wish you never said. But you find Job coming back to God. Getting where God could use him, bless him. A couple of years ago, stomach flu went through Arkansas. You may have gotten it. Boy, everybody in the world getting sick. I was home, my Donna there. I didn't get it. But she got it. And so one night, we live in double wide mobile home. We love it. We own our own house. The camp gave us, we've been there 27 years. Camp gave us a little acreage there beside campground. And we bought a double wide. I can tell you the size of it. It's 24 by 60 if you include the tongue. I told the guy, I just want to know how big my house is. I said, I can't live on the tongue. Just tell me how big the house is. It's a 4-foot tongue. I said, that's not too long. Got a lady in my church one longer than that. But but it's got two bathrooms in it. I like having two bathrooms. I was 50 years old before I lived in a house with two bathrooms. It's handy having two bathrooms. We was in bed one night. My Donna had fever. I was worried about her. She's sick. Well, she'd jump up, John, I'm going to throw up. So she'd jump up. She was on the other side of bed, running around bed. Just got into the bathroom, didn't make it commode. And she threw up. Now, I'm not going to make you sick, but I'm just telling you how this happened, all right? Now, I'm one with a weak stomach. I mean, if we're at camp and there's a kid beside me have a problem, you got two problems. You know what I mean? I remember my Donna, she just sat down there on the floor. She looked up at me, she said, John, I'll clean it up. And I said, no, you won't. I'll clean it up. Because I thought of her. when I saw her and I thought of those years she had to clean up after me, day after day, week after week, I said, my turn now. I cleaned her up, got her back in bed. Now, I did have to close the door and raise the window. It was tough. And I tell you, money wouldn't have paid me to do that. You couldn't give me $100 bill to have done that. But love caused me to. You know how Moses endured? The Bible says in Hebrews 11, Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. When you think, I can't go on, think of Jesus. Not just Job, think of Jesus. And how he kept going to that cross. And he kept on, even though he couldn't even carry the physical load. Simon had to help carry him, carry the cross. He laid down his life, and he suffered, bled for you and me. Think of the cross. And there's nothing God could ask us to do that's too much after Calvary. Nothing.